But we've been married for 33, coming on 34 years in June, and we want you to know, we're just going to be honest with you, we're still figuring it out. And she's got a lot to work with here. Like, you know, she's got, so pray for her. Pray for her. She's got a lot that she has to deal with on a day-by-day basis. But we talk about the vow, and remember, if you've ever been in a wedding ceremony or one of your own, most of you've heard these vows that have been said before, and I've been talking about this each week, but we've heard this statement, I take you, just squint your eyes and just remember that moment. When you said to her, you said to him, or you were sitting in that ceremony, and you're just like, oh, man, just squint your eyes. I take you, Michelle, to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. You see, it's the vow. It's that commitment that I commit everything possible. I commit all of me, and you commit all of you to make this marriage into one. That's what we talked about. The goal that God has for marriage is that the two would become one. And it doesn't happen overnight. And the married couple said, amen, it doesn't happen. So let me review here for quickly here the past few weeks. The vow that we are making here, if we're going to have the godly marriage that God wants us to have, we vow, number one, I promise God will be my first priority, and my spouse will be my second. Amen. Listen to me. Listen, every single person here, your most important relationship is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the main thing, and you want it to be the main thing, because when Jesus is the main thing, well, then it's just going to trickle down into your marriage. And so your spouse wants your relationship with Jesus to be number one. Second vow that we talked about last week is that I will promise to always pursue my two. I will always pursue. And too often, when we talk about marriage, you just, you know, it gets started off and like, man, I just love you, and it's like, it's great. And then over time, it just kind of, the love fades away. Where did the love go? What happened here? The reason is because we stop pursuing. We stop pursuing like we did when we were dating. And so the challenge is, don't let the love grow cold. Don't let the flame go out. It's our responsibility to keep that flame alive. Get back to our first love. So my third vow that I want to talk to you about today, I've entitled today, Partners, Partners. And the vow, and third vow is, I promise our marriage will be about we and not about me. Look at your spouse right now, your significant other, and just say, listen, I vow to you, it's about we. It's not about me. Now look at the person on the other side. So I mean it. I mean it. This marriage is a partnership. What is a partnership? I looked it up. The word partnership is when two people combine their resources to form a business and agree that they're going to share the risk, the profits, and the losses. They're going to bring both their strengths and their weaknesses to the table. We're just going to put it down on the table, and we're going to look out for each other. We're going to support each other. We're going to help each other, and we're going to work together to make this thing called marriage, we're going to cause it to win. We're in it to win it. Look at your spouse and say, I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to win it. You know, another word is team. Team. And you heard that acrostic team. Together, each accomplishes more. But when one person pulls out and you only have one person is pulling the weight, man, there's challenges in that. Each member shares a part of the responsibility. Let's get into the word this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. The Apostle Paul tells us that we need, and some of you are not going to like this, All right, some of you are going to tune me out when I say this word, okay? So just if you don't want to hear this word, just go ahead and close your ears right now because you don't want to hear it, because it's not one of those popular words that's in the world today. You know, like, oh, my word, how barbaric of you. But just listen to Paul here, and he might have something for us here. He says, I'm afraid to say it. I'm afraid to submit. Oh, man. And I see people just rising up and they're walking out right now. And I'm just submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. And the big idea out of what Paul is trying to tell us is this principle called mutual submission. It's mutual. We're both in this. We both submit to each other. To submit means to place yourself underneath another person as a willing servant. You know, really, it should be, in your marriage, it should be a battle of two people who are trying to outserve each other. Really, that's what it should be. Two individuals who are just striving. You go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you deserve. But this is two people who are trying as hard as they can from their hearts to outserve each other's. So when it comes to marriage, what is my responsibility? You ever find yourself asking that question? What is my responsibility in this partnership called marriage? What is my part? And better yet, what is it that my spouse needs from me? What is it, the thing that they really, really need? Because we're so different, right? Men and women, we are so different. And a lot of times we really don't know how to help each other. We don't know how to meet each other's needs. And the reality is when our needs are not being met from each other, and a lot of times it stirs up feelings of feeling unloved, rejected, and all kinds of problems just begin to stem from that. So when he says in his book, William Harley, in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, he says this, men's top emotional needs are usually women's least important needs, and vice versa. And all the women said, agree with that statement? Men's top emotional needs are usually a woman's least important needs. And a lot of times, because God built us so different, a lot of times we don't get each other. We don't fully understand. But the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, you are responsible. You are responsible. If you signed up and you made that vow to that other person, you have made yourself responsible to make this marriage work and to understand your spouse's needs. Listen to verse 33 here, Ephesians chapter 5. So Paul says, so again I say, each man must love his wife. Where are all the men in the house? All the men in the house, yeah. Give me some response here. Yeah, there we go. Man. Each man is to love his wife as he loves himself. Okay, so there's your responsibility, man. If you want to know what your responsibility is, love your wife as you love yourself. And the wife, the ladies in the house, I don't know how it goes. Oh, hi, Pastor. Is to respect her husband. So what Paul just did here is he really sets the bar high. The standard is set high. So if you're thinking about it, you're out there and you're not married, you're single and you're thinking about getting married, understand the standard that is set before us is high. It's a big standard. It's not just like, well, we'll figure it out. I don't know, whatever. You know, if it doesn't work out, you know. The standard is, wives, you are to respect your husband as you would respect Jesus. Respect your husband. Husbands, You are to give your life for her, just like Jesus gave his life for you. You are to love her more than you love yourself. You are to sacrifice yourself for her. So your focus, both of you, the focus on your marriage, you need to be focused on putting your spouse's needs in front of your own. To know and meet the needs, not only to just, but you need to figure out, I need to figure out what her needs are, his needs are, and then I need to put those needs in front of my own. And so he says in his book, therefore, your responsibility, everybody say responsibility. Therefore, husbands, wives, your responsibility is to serve your spouse by meeting their needs in the context of love and respect. Love and respect. Jimmy Evans, who's just a great mentor, teacher on this topic, he and his wife started a ministry called Marriage Today. He says this, the number one problem in marriage today is unmet needs. Number one problem in marriage today is unmet needs. You see, God designed marriage as a means for us to meet each other's needs. God created, or else we wouldn't need marriage. But we were created to meet each other's needs as different as we are. But when you reject your spouse's needs, what you're doing is you're rejecting your spouse. Think about it. If you don't know what your spouse's needs are, you don't take the time to get to know what their needs are, then you are, in fact, just rejecting what their needs, and then you are rejecting that person. So if we dig deeper in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul breaks down what our responsibilities are. So like I said earlier, I'm cutting this message in half, and I'm going to talk to the men today. I'm going to talk to the men today. Now listen, ladies, some of you are like, good, because he needs to hear it. It's about time. He needs to hear what you have to say today. You get him, Pastor. Okay. So we're going to talk to the men, but ladies, we're going to talk about you next week. Now, you need to promise me that you're going to be here next week. All right? I don't want to be like, you know, we should go for a drive. We should go for a drive. No. Don't do that to me, right? Right? Because I got the notes right here. I'll finish it out today. We're going to finish this out. All right, so we're going to talk about the husbands. Husband's responsibility, Ephesians 5:25. Man, it says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. So Ephesians 5, Paul tells the husbands, love your wife. And if you read through Ephesians chapter 5, you see that he says, love your wife. He says it three times. Ladies, how many of you realize sometimes it takes three times for the message to get across, right? It's just kind of a guy thing. And so Paul says it three times. Guys, listen to me. Listen. Love your wife. Now, in some translations, the word is cherish. Cherish. The word cherish means to love dearly or to regard with high value. Man, we understand the word cherish. We may never, ever use the word cherish, but we understand the word cherish. Because there's three things that men tend to cherish. We tend to cherish our hobbies. We have hobbies. You know, some of you are fishing. You love to go fishing. Some of you are you're watching online right now out on the lake because you're fishing, because you cherish fishing. You love hunting. You love guns. You love cars. You love the boat. You cherish these things. We love our sports. Some of you, man, we love the Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go. Yeah. We love the Ohio State Buckeyes. All right. Still working on that one. All right. Some of you are excited. I think I heard today, if you are excited about getting home watching the Daytona 500, I think I heard it got delayed. It got delayed. So some of you will be calling in sick tomorrow so you can watch the Daytona because you love sports. You love sports. And we love our jobs. We love our jobs. Some men, we love to work. My dad, I grew up in a home. I had a very loving dad, but my dad was addicted to overtime. He loved when that when his beeper, when back in the day he had a beeper, he loved when that beeper went off because he loved, he cherished his work. And we know we cherish these things because we joyfully give them our time, we give them our treasure, and we give them our affection. And so Paul is saying here, it's like, listen, guys, we understand cherish. We know how to cherish things. And we are called to love our wives as we cherish these things. So it's from marriage today. Again, we're going to, Jimmy Evans has helped me out with this message today. He talks about there's four major needs of a wife that a wife needs, okay? Jimmy Evans, this is from him, and I'm in alignment with some of the things that he has to say. So he says the first thing that your wife needs, man, I'm trying to help you out here and have this conversation with them later, all right? Don't throw stones at me. But the first need that your wife has is the need for security. And I believe this is a big one. It's a big one. Listen to me, man. If you want your wife to be, if you want them to feel more secure, then this is what your wife needs you to be. Your wife needs you to be a couple things here. First of all, your wife is looking for you to be selfless. Selfless. Bless you. In other words, to put your wife, your children, your marriage before yourself. They're looking for somebody to be. Listen to me, men. Nothing makes a wife feel more secure than a selfless, sacrificial husband who cares about their marriage. And all the ladies said, I think I heard a man's voice in that. Men, listen to me. Listen to this point. Nothing makes a wife feel more insecure than a selfish and detached husband who only cares about himself. And all the ladies said, amen. Be selfless. One of the ways that we cherish our wives is to be selfless. Selfless. I talked about our marriage. 5-6 years ago, I was in a selfless situation with our marriage. And my life revolved around our ministry, my ministry. And over time, over situations, I had reprioritized my life so that my marriage or my ministry was over my wife. And it went on for over a period of time, and it caused a lot of pain and a lot of resentment. And you just had a husband here who was just not listening to their wife or was not paying attention to her needs, and it was not seeing the hurt that it was causing here. And it came to a breaking point where I had to surrender, like Paul said, I had to surrender my life. You see, ministry was my life, and I needed to lay down my life, my ministry, and reprioritize my life so that I was serving, number one, my God. I don't even think God was number one, but I needed to reprioritize and put God in first place, and I needed to put my bride in second place in my life, and then ministry and other things came afterwards. I needed to reprioritize. I needed to be selfless. I needed to surrender self. I needed to be, number two, I needed to be self-disciplined. Men, your wife is looking for you to be self-disciplined with the finances of the house. And that's why, listen to me, that's why your wife is so upset when you come home and you got a boat at the end of your pickup truck and you didn't talk to her about it. You want, like, what is her problem? What's she so upset about? It's because you're not being self-disciplined. You're being selfish. And we need to be self-disciplined with the children. I saw on Facebook here a few years ago, I'll never forget this picture. I saw this a posting, and there was this dad, and he was underneath the table, and they had sheets over the table, and he's down underneath the table in this make-believe or in this tent that they put together with his kids. He's making his kids a priority. Oh man, your wife loves when you make the children a priority, and when you're self-disciplined with your integrity, man. When you gladly say, "Here, You can look at my phone, you can look at my iPad, my computer. Here's all of the passwords. And you can look at this at any time you want. Sweetheart, I'm not hiding anything. When she knows your passwords, when you tell her where you're going, when you're not hiding things from her, you're building her security. When she knows, man, listen to me, when she knows that you meet regularly with an accountability partner, when she knows that you have somebody in your life, a man who asks you the difficult questions, man, when you do those things, you are building security in your wife. And she's looking for a man who is self-surrendered. You want to build security in your wife's life? Be self-surrendered. What I mean by that is she knows that Jesus is number one in your life. You have completely surrendered your heart to Jesus. I tell men, I shouldn't say this in church, but I tell men, guys, listen, there's nothing more sexier to a godly woman than a godly man. You can respond to that, godly women, because that's, there we go. Don't get carried away, all right? Because she knows that if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's going to trickle down into your marriage. It's going to flow. It's just an even flow. She's going to be receptive of it. And so we talk about security. Why, man, your wife's one of her biggest needs is security. And we need to spend time of building security into their lives by being the authentic you God has called you to be. Second of all, we talk about this word affection. Man, your wives need affection from you. I love this description. One woman described her happiness in her marriage like this. Listen to this. I love this. She said, "My husband treats me like someone in a room full of antiques. He walks in, picks me up, and holds me with great care and tenderness. I often feel like I'm the most precious thing in our home. He saves the best hours and his best effort for me, and not the television." Affection. Affection. Man, your wife is looking for non-sexual affection. Do I need to go any deeper than that? Your wife loves it when you hold her hand in public, when you rub her shoulders, when you give affectionate hugs without intentions. Your wife needs to know that you cherish her through loving affection. We talked about romance. And guys, let's just understand this. And we got to figure this out. That word romance means two different things. And we understand what it means to us, but we need to understand what it means to our wives. So, man, we need to get back to our dating days where there was flowers and there's walks in the park, there's notes, there's gifts, there's fun dates. Let your wife know that she is always on your heart. Tell your wife every day. Speak to the beauty that you see in her. The third thing that your wife needs from you is communication. Communication. This is another word for this is emotional intimacy. And we're going to talk about intimacy here down the road here a little bit. But intimacy is like, the word intimacy means that there's nothing hidden between us. That when you speak, when we speak, you are being fully present. They need us to learn to open up and to be honest with them. And time out here. Can I just speak to the ladies here? Speak to the ladies. Give your husband time for him to process his feelings. When he comes home from work, you're like, "Tell me about your day. Tell me about your day, because Pastor told you to tell me." But he's not ready to process. Give him time to process. Guys, come home and process your day and your thoughts. But then make sure you turn off the noise, you go for a walk, and you process, you communicate. Man, we communicate through a couple of different ways here with our words. We talked about this last week. With our words have the power of life or death. And by our listening, but by being present with our attitude and with our actions. I'm going to move on quickly here. The last thing that our wives need from us is this thing that I call servant leadership. Servant leadership. The servant leadership defined by me is to lead in such a way that adds value to others. Adds value. So Jesus explains to us at the Last Supper. Remember that scene? He explained to us what servant leadership looks like. And he got down on his knees and he took a towel and he washed his disciples' feet. Man, I want you to understand, if we're going to be the leaders in the home, because that's what we cry about. I want to be the leader of my home, right? We want to be the leader. But understand, with leadership comes responsibility. With leadership comes responsibility. Man, I want to challenge you. Here's the key word. I want to challenge you to be the initiator. Too many times, we just allow things to happen. We just allow things to happen and we just watch it happen. Man, I want to challenge you. Your wife is looking for you to be the leader in the home. Be the initiator. There's this phrase called the take point. And it's a military term. I hope that I'm, for all those who are in the military, I hope that I'm talking about this right. But when they go into battle, the leader will point out who's going to take point, and he'll assign somebody to take point. In other words, that person is the first person, as they go single file through the jungle or wherever, he's the first person to go. He's the leader. He's leading them in the direction that they're going to go. And you know what that means? He's kind of putting himself out there, making himself vulnerable. He's the initiator. And man, I want to tell you, we need to be the leaders in our home. But we need to do it with the heart of a servant leader. And you know what leaders do? Leaders are first. They're first. Look at your wife and say, I'm first. Go ahead and say it. You are in your home. That means you are the first to lead. You are the first to serve. You are the first to sacrifice. You are the first to apologize. You are the first to pray. You are the first person to get up on a Sunday morning to get your family to church. You're the first. You're the leader. Your wife needs you to lead in a way that inspires her to follow. Lead in such a way, inspires her to follow. Just like Jesus did. Jesus led with a towel and he led with a cross. Man, I want to challenge you. If we're going to be the godly leaders that God has called us to be, let's lead with a towel and lead with a cross for our wives. Amen? Let's be the men worth, and let's be the men who we inspire our wives to want to follow. Amen? Let me just pray. Can I just pray right now for all of the men in the house? Can I just do this? Can I ask all of the men if you would stand up right now? All of the men in the house. Ladies, look at all these servant leaders standing in front of you. Servant leaders. I'm going to pray for each and every one of you because it's not easy because the world tells us to do the opposite, but we're going to do it God's way. From now on, we're just going to do it God's way. So, Lord, I pray right now for each and every man who's in this room right now. And I believe that they're taking a stand. They're going to take a stand for their marriage. They're taking a stand for Jesus. And I pray that you would just birth inside each and every one of these men right now the heart of a servant leader. I pray, God, that you would just birth in them the desire to lead just like you led. That, Father, I pray that you would remove all thoughts and attitudes that the world tries to teach us. And, Lord, I pray, make them the leaders. Make them the leaders worth following. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name, man, you may be seated here. If you're here today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Because when you do that, when you make Jesus first in your life, it changes everything. If you're here today, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just bow your heads with me and just say, God, I need you. I'm inviting the Lord of the universe to come and live inside of me, to change me from the inside out, to forgive me. I'm making the decision today to follow you, heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for checking out the Thrive Church podcast. I hope you were inspired by the message today. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can impact more lives. Remember, wherever you are in your faith journey, you are welcome, loved, and accepted. Have a wonderful day.